I'm on the road to recovery, step by step.
Welcome to the Fort Lauderdale Primary Purpose Big Book Study Group. To prepare for our Big Book Study, first we're going to have a joke. Who's our jokes teller? Greg.
Well, Greg.
Better be good, Greg. Better be good.
Tough crowd already.
I've heard the wind blow before.
Hey, everyone. I'm Greg.
Hi, Greg.
Your alcoholic Greg. Joke teller for tonight.
Hey, Greg.
All right. If Olympic drinking was an event, I would probably take gold in the floor routine. My phone auto-corrected, wish you were here to wish you were beer. I sent it anyways. I don't have a drinking plot problem. If anything, I'm too good at it.
All right. All right, better luck next week, Greg. Welcome to the Fort Lauderdale Primary Purpose Big Book Study Group. To prepare for our Big Book Study, let's get focused by having a 3-minute meditation followed by the fog light prayer.
Good evening, everyone. I'm a recovered alcoholic. My name is Jay.
Hey, Jay. Hey. And I'm a recovered alcoholic, and my name is Ryan.
Hey, Ryan.
Hey.
Thanks for joining us tonight. We're going to start the meditation in a minute, so please take a moment to get situated.
Please turn off all devices that make noise that will distract others for the duration of the meeting.
If you want to get coffee while we're meditating, you can do that, but just be quiet about it.
Also, please refrain from disturbing others by talking or constantly getting up and sitting back down.
For the meditation, some suggestions are focus on your breath and posture. Breathe in God and breathe out self.
Take this time to get reconnected to God. Let the craziness of the day drift away and ask God to help you stay focused on the study. So we're going to turn down the lights. We're going to turn on the monks and we'll see you all in 3 minutes.
Who sent thee from his mother?
Light prayer. If you don't know it, there's cards on the table. You can just follow along.
God, let your love shine through me like a fog light, so those who are lost, sick, and dying can find your love through me.
Amen. Now we're going to have someone come up and do our secretary's report. Let's welcome Spencer.
Spencer.
Hi, I'm your recovered alcoholic secretary. My name is Spencer.
Hi, Spencer.
In keeping with our seventh tradition, which states that every group shall be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions, the baskets are now going around. And I have asked my friend Sharif to read the recovered statement. We read this notice to explain exactly why we identify as recovered in this group rather than recovering and what it exactly means to be a recovered alcoholic. Come on, Sharif.
Okay. I've never done this before. Listen,
we're not cured of alcoholism.
We're not cured of alcoholism. We recover, but not cured. That
presents
a
conflict
to alcoholics. If we're cured, we will be able to drink responsibly. No, we're not cured.
The allergic reaction
to alcohol will remain with us for our lifetime, but we will have been restored to
sanity.
That was not the problem. The main problem of the alcohol
centers in his mind.
Rather than in our bodies. We're not
sane
where alcohol is
concerned.
Consequence, we have recovered.
Thank you so much, Sharif. 1940-style big book sponsorship from second edition Alcoholics Anonymous of alcoholics who came to AA and really tried. 50% got sober at once and remained that way. 25% sobered up after some relapses. And among the remainder, those who stayed on with AA showed improvement. What we've seen, felt, come to believe, and experience is that God has not changed over time, and neither should the sacred approach back to his loving arms. The statistics above suggest a 75%+ success rate. We have CDs, mugs, large print big books, little red books, big book dictionaries for sale. We meet every Monday promptly at 7:15, and we ask that you be courteous and get it ready to begin at the Road to Recovery tune. Thank you very much. See you next week.
All right. Thanks, Spencer. From the forward to the first edition of Alcoholics Anonymous. We have Alcoholics Anonymous for more than 100 men and women who have recovered from a seemingly hopeless state of mind and body. To show other alcoholics precisely how we have recovered is the main purpose of this book and of this group.
From There is a Solution, also from the big book, the tremendous fact for every one of us is that we have discovered a common solution. We have a way out on which we can absolutely agree and upon which we can join in brotherly and harmonious action. This is the great news this book carries to those who suffer from alcoholism.
This is an open meeting, and as such, all who have an interest in alcoholism and our program of recovery are welcome. Because this is an open meeting, you need not identify yourself nor your reason for being here if you do not wish to do so. Your anonymity will be protected. We ask that you protect ours. On the subject of anonymity, thank you.
You're welcome.
This meeting is podcast, so if you don't want your voice out on the interwebs, feel free to not talk into the microphone, or you can disguise your voice.
Yeah. That's a better option. Can we have a show of hands of people joining us for the first time? Hey, what's your name?
I'm Darren.
Hey, Darren, welcome.
All right, all are welcome. Show of hands of the recovered alcoholics. If your hand's not up, we suggest you hang out with the people whose hands were up and you ask them how they did it. Bah, bah, bah.
While this is an open meeting, membership in this group is limited to those who wish to recover from alcoholism and have a desire to stop drinking for good and all. Each member of Alcoholics Anonymous is a potential sponsor of a new member and should clearly recognize the obligations and duties of such a responsibility.
And from what I see, it looks like everyone has a book, but if you do need a book, we have loaners on the edge of the table. Just return them when you're done.
Before we begin our study of the big book, last week we reviewed Tradition 4. So tonight we're going to take a quick review of Tradition 5. Please refer in the unabridged big book, page 564-ish, and in the abridged big book, page 178, 179-ish. What we're going to do is we're going to have Spencer come up. He'll read the short form and the long form and then talk about his experience with Tradition 5.
Spencer.
I'm running double duty tonight. Wait a second. I gotta wait for my
case
to turn me on.
Whoa. Whoa.
Sounds... Keep it PG.
We're not that kind of meeting, Spencer.
You're on.
Oh, boy. Hey, Spencer, alcoholic.
Hey, Spencer.
All right. Tradition 5, the short form. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the alcoholic who still suffers. And then the long form. Each Alcoholics Anonymous group ought to be a spiritual entity, having but one primary purpose. That is, carrying its message to the alcoholic who still suffers. So how this has taken place in my recovery journey is that... you know, oftentimes we'll see people come into these rooms that may still be... struggling with alcoholism and people will come up with ideas about what should and shouldn't be allowed. They will also try to put some other issues into things like, oh, we shouldn't let certain people in. But that would be directly against this tradition, which would prevent an alcoholic getting the message. So... thanks to this tradition, these rooms stay open for me and everybody else, and I'm grateful for that. Thank you.
Spencer.
Awesome. Thank you, Spencer. In order to help Mike Chase stay focused as we study the big book, we use the big book study guide prepared by Joe and Charlie and Krusty Cliff of the Dallas Primary Purpose Group.
Tonight we're going to begin on page 76, which will be read from the front by tonight's reader, John.
Let's welcome up John Bender. After the page is read, we're going to ask questions from the podium, starting back on page 76. The answers will be one sentence unless otherwise specified, and multi-part questions are simply a one-sentence answer split up by commas, semicolons, hyphens, and other fun bits of punctuation.
Basically, in English, what Ryan's saying is that we're going to read the material once through and then redissect the information a second time through the question and answer format. Notice how the language in the questions gives us a new light in which to consider the study material.
This is important because hearing the question and rereading the content offers a definite way of comprehending the material covered. After we've completed the page, we open up for comments, questions, and observations based on what was just read. If you have spiritual experiences with this information, you're free to share.
However, a big book study is not therapy. Should you begin sharing about topics which are more appropriately discussed in a different, i.e. sponsorship setting, please do not be offended when we cut that conversation short. For that purpose, we have fellowship meetings before and after our study time.
You can never go wrong by commenting on the page, which brings us to the words of one of the co-founders of Alcoholics Anonymous. Sobriety, freedom from alcohol, through the teaching and practice of the 12 steps, is the sole purpose of any Alcoholics Anonymous group. So we didn't just decide we were going to start on page 76 tonight. We've been reading for about 45 weeks. And to bring us up to speed at where we're at tonight, we're going to have Jay do a quick recap.
All right, yeah. So we didn't just start on that page. We started in the preface and the forewords. If you don't know what those are, you should read them. It's a little bit of history about Alcoholics Anonymous, about how it started, some cool statistics in there, so I definitely recommend going over that. And then we get into the doctor's opinion, which is written by a real doctor, not a rehab counselor. And he explains that what he believes that we have, like, this threefold illness, and it's a mental obsession, a physical allergy, and a spiritual malady. After that, we get into Bill's story. I've heard it called, like, be called, like, a 12-step call in print, you know. I never went to war, you know what I mean? I never was, like, a hotshot in New York like Bill was, but what I definitely related to was the progression of his disease. And then we get into, there is a solution. We know about what alcoholism is, and now we got to read about, like, what we do about that, you know? So we have, there is a solution. Then we get into more about alcoholism. Chapter on relapse, there's some fun little examples of, there's some fun examples of why human power isn't enough and why we need a power greater than ourselves. And then if you're, like, skeptical about God or a higher power, we have a chapter called We Agnostics, which kind of challenges you to maybe rethink that or, you know, yeah, that's it. Then we got how it works. We do a third step. We give our life over to God. We write a personal inventory. We start to take a look and see some of the patterns, you know, while we're writing that inventory. Then we get into action, where we take that inventory and we discuss it with our sponsor. He tells us what our defects are, and we get an idea of those, and then we get into steps 8 and 9, which we're on tonight.
Awesome. Thanks, Jay.
I did it.
You did something.
I did something.
You did something. All right, so we're going to tee up at the top of page 76, if you want to just start at the very top of the page, and then we'll cut you off when it's time to stop.
Okay. If we can answer to our satisfaction, we then look at step 6. We have emphasized willingness as being indispensable. Are we now ready to let God remove from us all the things which we have admitted are objectionable? Can he now take them all, every one? If we still cling to something we will not let go, we ask God to help us be willing. When ready, we say something like this: My Creator, I am now willing that you should have all of me, good and bad. I pray that you now remove from me every single defect of character which stands in the way of my usefulness to you and my fellows. Grant me strength as I go out from here to do your bidding. Amen. We have then completed step 7.
This is where our questions are going to pick up
tonight. Now we need more action, without which we find that faith without works is dead. Let's look at steps 8 and 9. We have a list of all persons we have harmed and to whom we are willing to make amends. We made it when we took inventory. We subjected ourselves to a drastic self-appraisal. Now we go out to our fellows and repair the damage done in the past. We attempt to sweep away the debris which has accumulated out of our effort to live on self-will and run the show ourselves. If we haven't the will to do this, we ask until it comes. Remember, it was agreed at the beginning we would go to any lengths for victory over alcohol. Probably there are still some misgivings. As we look over the list of business acquaintances and friends we have hurt, we may feel diffident about going to some of them on a spiritual basis. Let us be reassured. To some people, we need not, and probably should not, emphasize the spiritual feature on our first approach. We might prejudice them. At the moment, we are trying to put our lives in order. But this is not an end in itself. Our real purpose is to fit ourselves to be of maximum service to God and the people about us. It is seldom wise to approach an individual who still smarts from our injustice to him and announce that we have gone religious. In the prize ring, this would be called leading with the chin. Why lay ourselves open to being branded fanatics or religious bores? We may kill a future opportunity to carry a beneficial message. But our man is sure to be impressed with a sincere desire to set right the wrong. He is going to be more interested in a demonstration of goodwill than in our talk of spiritual discoveries. We don't use this as an excuse for shying away from the subject of God. When it will serve any good purpose, we are willing to announce our convictions with with tact and common sense. The question of how to approach the man who hated will arise. It may be he has done us more harm than we have done him, and though we may have acquired a better attitude toward him, we are still not too keen about admitting our faults. Nevertheless, with a person we dislike, we take the bit in our teeth. It is harder to go to an enemy than to a friend, but we find it much more beneficial to us. We go to him in a helpful and forgiving spirit, confessing our former ill feeling and expressing our regret. Under no condition do we criticize such a person or argue. Simply, we tell them that we will never get over drinking until we have done our utmost to straighten out the past. We are there to sweep off our side of the street, realizing that nothing worthwhile can be accomplished until we do so, never trying to tell him what he should do. His faults are not discussed. We stick to our own. If our manner is calm, frank, and open, we will be gratified with the result. In 9 cases out of 10, the unexpected happens. Sometimes the man we are calling upon admits his own faults, so feuds of years stand melt away in an hour. Rarely do we fail to make satisfactory progress. Our former enemies sometimes praise what we are doing and wish us well. Occasionally, they will offer assistance. It should not matter, however, if someone does throw us out of his office. We have made our demonstration, done our part. It's water over the dam. Most alcoholics owe money. We do not dodge our creditors. Telling them what we are trying to do, we make no bones about our drinking. They usually know it anyway, whether we think so or not. Nor are we afraid of disclosing our alcoholism on the theory it may cause financial harm. Approached in this way, the most ruthless creditor will sometimes surprise us. Arranging the best deal we can, we let these people know we are sorry. Our drinking has made us slow to pay. We must lose our fear of creditors no matter how far we have to go, for we are liable to drink if we are afraid to face them.
Back in the middle of page 76. We'll read more if we have time.
All right.
So how this will work is Jay will read a question, and then John's going to answer that question with something that we just read. We'll go through a paragraph, and then we'll open it up for comments.
What steps will we look at now? 2 sentences. Now we need more action.
Now we need more action, without which we find that faith without works is dead. Let's look at steps 8 and 9.
What do we have?
We have a list of all persons we have harmed and to whom we are willing to make amends.
Where did it come from?
We made it when we took inventory.
What do we do now?
We subjected ourselves to a drastic self-appraisal.
Why do we go to see our family, friends, and neighbors?
Now we go out to our fellows and repair the damage done in the past.
What do we really try to do?
We attempt to sweep away the debris which has accumulated out of our effort to live on self-will and run the show ourselves.
I have a comment here that says, the following is the 8-step prayer. Remember that we were promised we would be given some willingness as we did step 4. What do we pray for?
If we haven't the will to do this, we ask until it comes. Remember, it was agreed at the beginning we should go to any lengths for victory over alcohol.
There you go. That's it.
Okay. We'll open that up for any comments.
Hey,
sorry, Hi, Greg.
I really like this paragraph. I really love the last sentence. Remember, it was agreed at the beginning we would go to any lengths for victory over alcohol. I have a note. I have that underlined and a note that my sponsor told me to write that says accountability. And, you know, he did hold me accountable with this sentence because right when we were getting started on the title page of this unabridged
abridged or abridged. That's the abridged. Yeah, abridged big book. There's like a line above Alcoholics Anonymous World Services, Inc., and above that he had me write, "I am willing to do whatever it takes to get and stay sober," and I signed my name on that line. And, you know, doing that in the beginning was really cool, and then having the opportunity to refer back to it was very powerful. So that's all I got.
Thanks, thanks for sharing.
It's a podcast.
Hey, Spencer, alcoholic.
Hi, Spencer.
Yeah, I really enjoy this paragraph as well. I think it's really important that we don't get too far ahead of ourselves, because I know that when I was going through the steps, looking at steps 8 and 9, my ego was telling me that those were the steps that you know, were going to make me a saint, and that I was going to get a lot of praise for all the good work that I did. And had I gone out prematurely, I could have made some really big mistakes, because there's some things on my inventory that I just can't apologize for or make an amends for. My amends is, you know, sticking to myself and continuing to stay sober. There is a lot of value in going out and doing this step. I think it's one of the most overlooked steps. And because, you know, a lot of times you'll have people that go out and do one or two, and then they call it done. But this is, one of those steps that you do for the rest of your life. And as you stay sober, you have to go back and look and make sure that you don't owe any amends. You know, you're working the steps that you're supposed to, take inventory every night. But sometimes, you know, the alcoholic delusion will get to you, and I find it extremely beneficial to come back and check on this every once in a while.
Alcoholic Mike Chase. I think it's important to remember that we're on step 8, such as when we're on step 3, we don't start worrying about step 9. When we're on step 2, we don't start practicing step 12. So step 8 is, we made a list of all people we have harmed. That's it, basic. That's all we do, is we go through our inventory with the sponsor, and they help us identify the amends that should possibly be made. And all we do is we just make a master list of the things that we might need to go out and repair. And once that master list is completed, then we go through them one on one to determine what's the motivation for the amends, what type of reparations have to be made, and do you really want to do this? Is this going to cause harm to them? Are you doing this just because you feel guilty about something you did and you want to make yourself feel better by going back to them? Or is this an untreated action coming up to maybe go rekindle an old relationship that probably is best to be left alone in the first place? So Allie was speaking last week, and she was talking about how the first time she was in rehab, a good rehab, she actually just did the steps on her own. She read the book all on her own. She realized that she didn't need a sponsor after she had done her fifth step, and she just made a complete mess of her life. And this is one of those points in time where it's important to have somebody who's been through this to hold you accountable and to help you decide what needs to be done. Because, you know, it's kind of ironic. They keep saying, you know, if you don't do a fifth, you'll probably drink a fifth. Well, Dr. Bob did a fifth. Back then, they didn't do 6 and 7. So he was still kind of hog wild on how magnificent he was, full of ego and crap like that. But he refused to go out and make amends. He refused to even write them down because he was afraid that people might find out. He would lose his business. He would end up losing his medical. It was just all these coulda, coulda, woulda, shoulda things that prevented him from doing that. And ironically, that was the one step that was required for him to crack his ego enough to let the God of his understanding come in and help him to be recovered. So as we all know, he didn't do his amends. He went to, what is that, Atlantic City for a doctor's convention and got shit-faced on the train and got shit-faced on the back because he was, like, not going to go out and tell those people about this. Somewhere between page 0 and page 84, every alcoholic is going to have a spiritual experience sufficient to recover from alcoholism. It may be your third step. It might be when you do your fourth step. It might be 6 and 7. But for a lot of people, it's step 8, because that's when we really take accountability for ourselves. And that's what he did when he finally came back. The first thing he did is he went out and he made amends to everyone that he had messed over that he could make amends to. And, you know, he never drank again after that. That was the one thing. So get a sponsor. Do what the sponsor says. Follow through, because they've been through this. Thanks.
Darren, alcoholic. The sentence that jumped out to me was, we attempt to sweep away the debris. I think you were just touching on it. When I see that, I look back at some of my early attempts to do step 9. I think that probably the defects of people pleasing showed up, and I don't think my focus was really on sweeping away a debris. It was probably on trying to get other people's approval of me. Like, now I'm changing. I want to get that attaboy, or that, you know, you're doing great now, keep it up, as opposed to really sweeping away the debris. So I appreciate you touching on that. And then just the part on the self-will, like, it's all accumulated out of my effort to live life on self-will and run the show myself. And it made me think of the sense of, like, we're always in collision with someone or something. It's a good reminder for me, because anytime I'm trying to extract something for myself, get some kind of security, some kind of whatever it is from a situation or from somebody, I'm usually causing damage. So it's just a good reminder. Thank you.
Anybody else? All right, you want to go on to the next paragraph?
What is probably true?
Probably there are still some misgivings.
As we review the list, how do we feel about some of them, and why might we feel this way?
As we look over the list of business acquaintances and friends we have hurt, we may feel diffident about going to some of them on a spiritual basis.
Can we be assured?
Let us be reassured.
Should we try to impress everyone of our spiritual way of life?
To some people, we need not and probably should not emphasize the spiritual feature on our first approach.
If we get heavy on spirituality, how might that affect them?
We might prejudice them.
What are we really trying to do?
At the moment, we are trying to put our lives in order.
Is that just what this program is all about?
But this is not an end in itself.
What is the real purpose of the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous?
Our real purpose is to fit ourselves to be of maximum service to God and the people about us.
And then I have a comment here that says, can this be achieved by just not drinking and going to meetings? What wouldn't be a very smart thing to do?
It is seldom wise to approach an individual who still smarts from our injustice to him and announce that we have gone religious.
To do so would be like doing what?
In the prize ring, this would be called leading with the chin.
If we do, what may they think of us?
Why lay ourselves open to being branded fanatics or religious bores?
What is a far more important reason?
We may kill a future opportunity to carry a beneficial message.
What will the person be impressed by?
But our man is sure to be impressed with a sincere desire to set right the wrong.
I have a comment here. A condition which must exist before making amends is a sincere desire to set right the wrongs. What will the person be interested in?
He is going to be more interested in a demonstration of goodwill than in our talks of spiritual discoveries.
And again, the message is what we do, not what we say.
Hey, I'm Greg. I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Greg.
Hey. So another great paragraph. Love. I have this highlighted. But this is not an end to itself. Our real purpose is to fit ourselves to be of maximum service to God and the people and the people about us. So I have written down here, I have a purpose now. My whole life, I didn't feel like I had a purpose. Or when I did, it was usually attached to something material, like going to school or whatever job I had. You know, that became my purpose. But to be of maximum service to God, that is, I never thought that that would be my purpose as an atheist before I got sober this time. But it feels damn good. Like, that's all I have to worry about. That's my purpose. Doing whatever it takes in this program to be in conscious contact with my higher power so then I could help others. And then I wanted to talk about, so in the process of making my amends, something I'm doing now is kind of like a living amends with my dad. You know, I could go through my whole life and apologize for every little thing I've ever done to him, which is a lot. You know, all the stuff I put him through, money I stole, and there's some financial amends in there too. But my sponsor just told me to be the best son ever, and that's what I'm trying to do. The past, you know, several times that I've spent with him have been awesome, you know, because of, like, prayer and meditation and stuff. I'm not so fast to react because, you know, he can be an asshole. But, you know, it's just about getting out of self and not reacting, being in the moment. And then I could help him because, like, for example, we were out to dinner the other night and we were sitting at a table and there was, like, a family with kids across from us, and he was getting so distracted, and I was able to help him by saying, you know, just try to stay present. Like, we're here having dinner. And that, you know, just focus on that. And it's not like I was preaching to him. I was telling him how, because it's all fear-based, like, these kids are being annoying, and, you know, so I was able to say, just be in the present moment. And when I'm in the present moment, it helps me with my fear because I'm closer to God. So that's all I got.
Alcoholic Mike Chase.
Oh, hi, Mike Chase.
One of the things that I've got written in my book time after time after time as we go through steps 7, 8, 9 is it's time for teamwork. I have to remember that I'm no longer alone. I have amends with certain types of people. I go to people who have a certain experience with that. Criminal amends, I talk to attorneys. Financial amends, I talk to attorneys / accountants. Anyone else that's been through a similar experience, I bring that up. And this part of the book that we're in right now, it's going to be, I love how 6 and 7 just sort of blend into, like, we make that master list, and then he's going to give us some suggestions, directions, old experiences on how to deal with them going forward. One of the things that my sponsor did is I made that master list, and we took that master list, and then we took another list, and we broke that up into 4 sections. Amends I can make now. Amends I can do soon, amends I maybe can do, but I'm not sure I'm going to be able to, and then the F, no, I'm not doing amends to those people, or for many reasons. So the nows were the easy ones, the $10, the $15, the talking to some people and just being a better person all the way around. The soon were the ones that were, you know, multiple hundreds of dollars that are going to require some money and some savings and maybe tracking them down to get those taken care of. The maybes are, I don't remember how much it was. I don't really remember when, you know, those things that eventually God will put them to me. And then the nevers were, that person screwed me over more than I did him. And then my sponsor says, that doesn't matter. You have to, you know, be willing eventually to do it. Because step 8 is just being willing. God will give me the opportunity in the moment to do it. Nevers also included dead people. people I don't know existed, who, where they are and stuff like that. And he reminded me that I'm a now member of a spiritual group, that if I need to deal with somebody I can't get a hold of, I can reach them through prayer and meditation. I can talk, I can, you know, hold conversations with people who've passed away. I find someplace sacred that maybe they'd like to go hang out. And I can have that conversation to just sort of clear the air spiritually, because we are now part of a spiritual way of life. The fact that the man doesn't want to hear about, oh, I found the Lord and Savior and all that, because Bill was all worried about these Oxford groupers going and doing that ministry that the Oxford group was doing. He said, we're not there to like minister to them. We're not there to preach to them. We're there to give him his effing 8-track stereo player back. We're here to give him the money we stole. We're here to tell them, or to honor that. By the way, those sheets of paper the judge gives you to leave her alone, what are those things called? Restraining orders are not them trying to play hard to get. We honor things like that. The sponsor would say, well, this person, you know, they did sort of tell you to F off and never talk to them. Your amends to them is never track them down. You see them, you cross the street. You honor their request to stay out of their lives. But they don't ever want to see you again. Don't track down old, you know, relationships, because you don't know what's going to happen. They may be in a new relationship. So you got to do this stuff with somebody who's been involved. And like I said, you're not alone. Ask people, reach out, get advice. This isn't like, oh, I just bumped into this person in the middle of the street. It's like, yeah, but maybe they're just coming out at the same time you were. That wasn't like, I met my girlfriend in detox. It was a God thing. You know, not everything's a God thing. Sometimes people just live in the same neighborhood. Thanks.
Telling me what an amends is. You know, I spent a lot of time in my active addiction doing the whole I'm sorry thing. You know, everything, I was sorry for everything, you know, but I'm sorry without changed behavior is just manipulation. So this is telling me I need to take action. I need to fix what I've done, not just say I'm sorry for it.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody else? All right, go to the next paragraph.
We don't use this as an excuse for shying away from what?
We don't use this as an excuse for shying away from the subject of God.
If it can help, what are we willing to do?
When it will serve any good purpose, we are willing to announce our convictions with tact and common sense.
What question will arise?
The question of how to approach the man we hated will arise.
What if he has hurt me more than I have hurt him?
It may be he has done us more harm than we have done him, and though we may have acquired a better attitude toward him, we are still not too keen about admitting our faults.
Nevertheless, what do we do?
Nevertheless, with a person we dislike, we take the bit in our teeth.
Even though it is difficult going to an enemy, what are the results?
It is harder to go to an enemy than to a friend, but we find it much more beneficial to us.
Sorry, please hold. In what frame of mind do we go to him, and what do we confess?
We go to him in a helpful and forgiving spirit, confessing our former ill feeling and expressing our regret.
I have a comment that says, could this be termed love, to want to help and forgive? I have another comment that says, step 9 is the step that lets us forgive those we have hated, feared, wished bad times toward, etc. Who on your 4-step list did you not have ill feeling toward? If you want to be forgiven, you must forgive, and then we are free. And then I have another comment. Sorry, Spencer. From this point in chapter 6 to the last paragraph on page 83, we will be told when and how to make direct amends to those we have harmed, except when to do so would hurt them or someone else, for specific situations and what the results will be. Watch for them. Floor is yours.
Spencer, alcoholic. To jump off all those comments that are in Jay's special book that he has, I just love how the big book is structured, right? Because what alcoholic doesn't think that everybody that they're mad at didn't do more wrong to them than they did to the other person? That's what I. That's my delusions. I just sit in all day long, is thinking, grinding. I have an axe to grind, and I'm doing it. It's probably the sharpest axe of all time. But like, if you think about, like, you know, Joe Schmo from Oklahoma, who just got this book in the mail. And he's reading through this chapter, and he's like, well, what about this? And then the next paragraph just refutes his entire argument that he comes up with in his head. It's just really, really cool that this book knows exactly its audience and what they're thinking while they're trying to find the loopholes in this book. And that's what I got.
Anybody else? Go on to the next paragraph.
When can we criticize someone?
Under no condition do we criticize such a person or argue.
Damn. Very simply, what do we tell them?
Simply, we tell him that we will never get over drinking until we have done our utmost to straighten out the past.
What are we trying... This is a two-part question. Why are we trying to make a restitution? And do we then tell them what they should do?
We are there to sweep off our side of the street, realizing that nothing worthwhile can be accomplished until we do so, never trying to tell him what he should do.
Whose faults are to be discussed? Two sentences.
His faults are not discussed. We stick to our own.
If we do this in an unemotional and honest manner, what will happen?
If our manner is calm, frank, and open, we will be gratified with the result.
All right, we'll open that up for any comments. Was that a hand raised?
Oh. You got to turn it on.
Hi, Alcoholic Mike Chase.
Hello.
Hi, Mike.
One of the things that I learned about later on was this whole process of steps 8 and 9 is it's a character building process. You know, for years, anytime I find myself in a sticky situation where I had to like take accountability or own up to something, which is the same thing, I guess. I got high and I got drunk I come into this group. I remember coming to A and telling my sponsor, I'm just very sensitive, and when people call me out, it just hurts my feelings. And he looked at me and says, no, you're just an immature brat, because I never grew up. The cool thing about steps 8 and 9, going to my family members and telling them, oh, I was such a bad son and blah, blah, blah. They say, oh, don't worry about it. Just don't drink and get high anymore. We just want you. It's like, what did I get out of that? Nothing. I got away with shit again, right? But having to go talk to an ex or someone who I've screwed over, somebody who I owe money to, and having to sit down, act like an adult, take the conversation that isn't happy, nice stuff about me, and then with this person coming up with an agreement or a schedule to pay them back, that's the first time I've ever done an adult-type behavior. So as I'm going through these steps, I'm actually growing up and become a mature person. I love how the steps just sort of take me from kindergarten to like high school in the first 6 or 7, 9 steps and stuff like that. So it makes me a better person. Under no conditions do we criticize such a person or argue. Such a personality change. Yeah, right? So we don't do that anymore. One of the things that I tell that really just, I don't know what Bill was talking about when he wrote this shit down. So you hear this guy and they're really mad at you and you're there to make amends and you say, well, the only reason I'm doing this in the first place, because if I don't, I'm going to get drunk. So I'm putting up with your asshole personality. I mean, here's your freaking money back, right? No, never tell anybody the only reason I'm doing this because if I don't, I'm going to get drunk. Because that is just me being selfish again. I'm going out to right the wrongs that I did. Staying sober is a byproduct of it. One of the things I remember somebody telling me once is, imagine Bill W. walking down the streets with one of his sponsees from the Clinton down the streets where there's bakeries and hardware stores and banks and, you know, places where he screwed business owners off and borrowed their money and owed them money. Can you imagine him walking down the street with one of his new guys saying, oh, this AA is amazing. I just love my relationship with God and, oh, I'm happy. And every time he walked by a store, some store owner came and said, hey, Bill, you schmuck, where's that $10 you owe me? No, that's not a way to show us that we're really good people. And I know today that I can go anywhere in the world and not worry about somebody tapping me on the shoulder saying, hey, dirtbag, where's the money you owe me? Because I went out offensively to track people down to a point where I don't have to worry about that anymore. And that's such a great feeling. You know, the freedom to be able to go wherever we want to go again. Thanks.
Thanks, Mike Chase.
Thanks. Jay, just kidding. Darren.
No, I appreciate it. Darren, alcoholic. I just like the reminder of, like, I'm not in, this step is not about controlling results, nor is none of this program. And like the last sentence says, I can be gratified with the result, but it's a matter of me being open and calm. And like that gratification only comes from when I'm relinquishing that result. And that result is taking me by surprise in a way. Like I'm not manipulating it. I'm just trying to do the next right thing. So it's all good.
A lot in here. So I really like how it talks about, like, we take the bit in our teeth. Recently I had some, like, I won't say family drama, but my sister was very upset with me and my other brother for, she felt like we weren't trying to keep in touch, you know? And we kind of felt differently. She sent like a bunch of mean texts in the family group chat, and they started arguing. I kind of stayed out of it, you know, but I could tell it wasn't good. And then when I really thought about it, I was like, you know what, I do need to call more often, you know. Sure, maybe some of her points I didn't agree with, but I said, you know what, I have to give her a phone call, you know. So I called her, and I'm just like kind of beating around the bush, and she's like, are we going to talk about, like, you know, the group chat, this and that? And I'm like, yeah, sure, go ahead. Like, let me have it, you know? And I just, like, sat there and I listened to her and I'm, you know, I was like, I understand you, like, you're right. You know what I mean? I was able to, even though if I think my point of view is correct, it's like, it's not going to resolve the situation. So I kind of just, I let her, like, vent and I let her go at it, and I asked her what she wanted me to do. And she's like, you just call, you know? And it ended with, like the conversation ended on a very good note. She ended up, like, apologizing for the way she went about it. You know what I mean? And I'm making an effort to call every day now, like, on my lunch break, you know? And that's just, like, one of the things the program does. Another really important thing is, like, having a sponsor through all this. When I wrote my amends, I was like, I'm not going to do that one. I don't want to do that one. I was very much reluctant, you know, and I had a pushy sponsor that was like, you're supposed to make these direct amends to these people, you know. It doesn't matter, you know, he's like, I don't care. It's not about your feelings, you know. It's about, like, making these amends and these direct amends, especially to the ones you don't want to make, you know. And I had one, particularly, it was an ex-girlfriend. You know, and if you have an ex-girlfriend and you want to make amends to her, maybe talk to your sponsor about it. I didn't want to make amends to this person. I didn't like this person, you know. But I owed her money. You know, I broke her windshield. I owed her money. And I ended up just going up, you know, taking a bus to St. Augustine, you know, 4 or 5 hour bus ride, and approaching her with the money that I owed her. And I, you know what I mean, as hard as it was to, like, see her and give her my hard-earned money, you know, it was like, I did it. And I just let her have her little thing, you know, to say whatever you need to say, you know. And I think I came out better for it. You know, certainly that wasn't the goal. The only goal I had was to give her the money that I owed her, you know. Everything else is just, like, gifts of the program, things that happen because of the actions that we take. But yeah, sponsors are important too, especially for navigating amends, especially tricky ones like that. Thanks.
Anybody else? Let's do one more paragraph.
What happens most of the time?
In 9 cases out of 10, the unexpected happens. Sometimes the man we are calling upon admits his own fault. Oops, sorry. Jumped ahead.
What happens sometimes?
Sometimes the man we are calling upon admits his own fault, so feuds of years standing melt away in an hour.
What rarely fails to happen?
Rarely do we fail to make satisfactory progress.
Sometimes what do our enemies do?
Our former enemy sometimes prays what we are doing and wish us well.
Occasionally, they will do what?
Occasionally, they will offer assistance.
But does it really make any difference what their reactions are?
It should not matter, however, if someone does throw us out of his office.
What counts, two sentences?
We have made our demonstration, done our part. It's water over the dam.
I have a comment. Again, the message is the demonstration of what we do, not what we say.
We'll learn more about amends next week.
Woo!
Yay.
Nice. This is from A Vision for You, page 164. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But you obviously cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and for countless others. This is the great fact for us.
Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny.
Now, in most meetings, they do a chip system to denote various lengths of sobriety, but we like to do things a little different here at the Fort Lauderdale Primary Purpose Big Book Study Group. We like to celebrate sponsorship, so if there's any sponsors that have a new sponsee and they want to get them connected to the group, we have a sponsorship medallion if you want to present them. If not, you can bring two next week and...
Is anybody celebrating a year or more of sobriety that would like a medallion?
Everybody.
Bring two next week.
Does anyone need a sponsor?
Everyone needs a sponsor. Sorry.
You're up.
If you would like to become a member of this group, please join us after the meeting to fill out your membership card and leave your blood sample.
Can all home group members raise your hands? We're going to see you after the meeting to help take down the room. Tricked you.
Thank you for joining us tonight. We hope to see you next week. And Thursday evening is our Alcoholics Guide Step Series workshop in this very room at 7:15. We have Allie. She'll be doing her fourth session out of six. It's been awesome so far, so definitely come check that out.
Yes.
Yes.
She is on fire. Please wait till you're 75 feet away from the doors to vape or smoke, or if you're emotionally stable, you can use the balcony out there.
We're going to go ahead and close with the Lord's Prayer. Take a second. Who woke us up today?
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Body's heavy, soul is thirsty, body's aching. I am desperately in need of restoration. Strong.
is the light of mine. I'm gonna let it shine, let it shine, 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 let it shine. Everywhere I go, I'm gonna let it shine. Everywhere I go, I'm gonna let it shine. Everywhere I go, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, 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 let it shine.
Chase, here's that song you've been asking me for a million years. I finally pulled it out the corners of my mind, and here you go. Fog is lifted, I see the light. Blessings when I go to sleep at night, and I dream now. Fear has left me, and I'm standing tall. A pile of bricks now lies where once there stood a wall that I hid behind. For all this time, sometimes it takes a burning bush or a great white light to set you right. Well, my eyes don't cry now, and I'm about to die. Pity party's over, the guest of honor has arrived, and he's almost up. For the first time in my life, are green now, growing vines. They twist and turn each way, flowers blooming all the time right outside my door. Like never before, I had to change everything to realize that today is the best day of my life. Plug in my guitar. will sing along and stomp their feet and raise their arms. And here in this moment that we share, nothing could come out. Lessons when I go to sleep at night, and I dream now. Yeah, I dream now, and everything's alright. Oh man, going on 10 years old that song is. God bless. I love you, Mike Chase. Bye.
Yeah. me, and I got one man that steals my dignity. Got one man that just won't set me free. But clap your hands if you believe me, children. A one man soul, the one thing in my life, baby, that could have made me another man's wife. So, Lord, shine your light on me tonight. So, Lord, shine your light on me tonight. Shine your light, oh, shine your light. Lord, shine your light on me tonight. Shine your light on me tonight. Yeah.